what we're about to do is to go into a form of heart surgery. And why is it heart surgery? Because in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So you want to find your heart, find your treasure. You find your treasure, you find your heart.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio, as always, is our teacher, Pastor Robbie. And Robbie, it's story time, and we love it, right?
Yeah, we do. Story time indeed. Story time from the Word of God. Jesus is telling stories because he's looking to change lives for those people with true ears. And we're praying today that our listeners definitely have true ears, that they can be reminded and impacted of the truth of God's Word. And today, it's a pretty penetrating message because Jesus is not afraid to go to the heart of the matter. And in fact, today, Jesus is going to remind us that where your treasure is, that's where you'll find your heart as well. So today's a story about wealth. And that's important. Even though I said that, probably got your attention because let's just be honest, man, our society is consumed with what we call wealth, that Jesus wants to point us to the true wealth. So when he tells a story about wealth, listen up and watch out, because your life could be changed in the process, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
All right, we're praying for big things in your heart and in our hearts today as we go right now to God's Word in Luke chapter 12. And here now, again, is Pastor Robbie.
We're in this series in the Gospel of Luke, specifically the parables, but not all the parables of Luke, but the parables that are unique to the Gospel of Luke. So the parables that we're going through are stories that you will only find in the Gospel of Luke and nowhere else in Scripture. And so we're telling stories. That's what parables are. We're telling stories through this series, and we're telling a story today. Let me tell you a story today about wealth. A story today about treasure, about riches, a story of true treasure, but a story also of false treasure. And again, what I love about as we go through this series, the Lord is deciding which areas we are focusing on and what themes we're going to be tackling each week. And this week, by God's leading within his word, we find ourselves up against one of the great temptations of the human heart. We tackle today the temptation of the human heart towards the love of money, the love of riches, the love and idolatry of possessions. Now, when we enter issues like this that are so relevant to the human heart, and really, to be honest, such a struggle for so many, personally, I get really excited because what we're about to do is to go into a form of heart surgery. And why is it heart surgery? Because in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So you want to find your heart, find your treasure. You find your treasure, you find your heart. So what we love, what we think about, what we spend our time doing, what we fantasize about, what our treasure is, there our heart is. A very, very telling, again, verse by Jesus Christ. And so today we enter into heart surgery. Now, I don't need to tell you the dangers of the love of wealth and money, etc. However, I do need to let the Word of God tell you as to the dangers of money and wealth and possessions. And often what we do is we look at one verse at a time within God's Word or one section of Scripture. But every now and then, especially on a topic, let's say, of money, it's so great to gather the totality of what God's Word says on this given issue, almost to overwhelm us with the evidence of how much God cares about this issue, the love of money or the temptation towards greed upon our heart. And so this week, I assembled a bunch of verses, and trust me, I left out tons of other verses, but I came down to, I think, what's going to be about 17 verses that speak to the issue of the love of money or the dangers of money elsewhere in Scripture to prepare us for our parable today. And we're going to go through each one of these. It's going to take a bit of time, but I'm praying you like me as I went through this, just honestly, the renewal of my mind, the awareness of how much God cares about this, the conviction that settled in. One of the things I'm doing in this series is I don't want to hoard all the conviction to myself. I want to share conviction with the church, right? Right? That's a great thing to do because it's honestly, as I'm going through this and conviction sets in, I just feel so loved by God. I do. I feel better. I feel different because sin is being exposed and you can get it there and you can kill it and stab it on the table and then be set free and set the joy that sets in. And so let's go through this little exercise here as we prepare ourselves for this parable in Luke chapter 12. Again, a lot of verses, but I think it's worth it. Ecclesiastes 5, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. This is pretty clear. You cannot serve God and money. Luke 16, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. So interesting. 1 Timothy 3, an elder cannot be a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. 1 Timothy 6, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. 2 Timothy, in the last days, people will be lovers of self. They will be lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Hebrews 13, keep your life free from the love of money. Here's a word, and be content with what you have. And be content with what you have. For he has said, I love how Jesus follows up with this, I will never leave you or forsake you. Content with Christ, sufficiency in him. Luke 18, Jesus looking at him with sadness said, how difficult is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 3, deacons, all the leaders likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. Titus 1, elders and overseers, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. Romans 13, you shall not covet. Psalm 52, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Psalm 73, behold, these are the wicked. And here's our society right here. These are the wicked, always at ease. Always at ease. They increase in riches. Proverbs 11. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Ecclesiastes 5. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Here it is, here it is. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. When the heart is set on riches, the heart is set on greed, the heart is set on money, doesn't work. Jeremiah 9, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, not the mighty man boast in his might, not the rich man boast in his riches. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord, in the Lord. 1 Timothy 6, as for the rich in this present age, see how much God's word has to say about this? Amazing. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, proud, nor to set their hopes in the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. James 5, your gold and your silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Wow. You have laid up treasure in your last days. Not good. Not good. Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also, which is also found in Luke 12. I think the next thing we have to do after all of that is to pray. So Father, this becomes an extremely important message because it's an issue of the heart, an extremely important area of the heart. For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So God, I pray right now, there are people here without a doubt who are in bondage. Lord, many of us, all of us in some way or another are impacted by this message. This world is absolutely obsessed with wealth, possessions, accumulating more for self. This world, Lord, the prince of the power of the air is running through the philosophical system of this world to see the heart set on luxury and self and more and more and more, Lord. Money in itself, Lord, is not evil, but it's the love of money that is. And so I pray, Lord, I pray you would set people free today. I pray, God, you would set me and family, church, leaders, everyone in some form to a greater level of freedom in you, that our joy is in Christ, our love is in Christ, our purpose is Christ, not stuff. Oh God, I pray you would use it in a mighty, mighty way. The reason you speak to this issue so much, Lord Jesus, because you know perfectly what a problem it was then and what a problem it is now. Set us free. When we know the truth, we will be set free. We will be free indeed. So we're excited, Lord, now, and I pray that there's a great sense of openness in mind and hearts. Even now, Lord, I just believe that your people, who I love so much, I love this church so much, oh God, how much you love this church. Even now, Lord, I believe they are saying, yes, I want to hear a word from God. I want to know what he has to say to me. I'm not going to fight this today. I'm going to be receptive and responding to whatever God says. Help us, Lord, to do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Let me tell you a story about wealth. Luke 12, verse 13. Now, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So someone in the crowd is referring to the teaching that Jesus had just been doing, and very important teaching. But this person, apparently this man, it's like kind of like when you're giving a sermon and you pour your heart out, and then someone comes up and says something to you that has nothing to do with anything you've said for the last 45 minutes. And did you hear a word that was spoken? And they're completely, this is what this man is doing right here. Jesus gave this amazing exhortation on what it means to hear from him, respond to him. And this guy, the only thing on this guy's heart and mind is money, as we're going to find out within this text. And so he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus knows his heart. Jesus says, "Man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you?" And then Jesus said to them, "Take care." And here's the whole message really right here. "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." Why? "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, O soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and yes, be merry.' But God said to him," and here's where the seriousness begins right here. "But God said to him, 'Fool,'" the first word out of God's mouth, "fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" And here's the point of Jesus' teaching right here. He sums it up very clearly and accurately for us without question. "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." A story of wealth, loved ones, and we're going to see three things, three principles, three teaching, three exhortations, three takeaways, three essential items from this parable that we need to see and understand. The first one is this: I must guard my heart from greed. I must guard my heart from greed if I'm going to follow and love the Lord with any kind of sincerity. Again, so verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, I want my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus said, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" So a man in the crowd has decided to ask Jesus to solve his inheritance problem. As one commentator states, it has been often said that where there's a will, there are a lot of relatives. That's very true, isn't it? It's very true. Now, one of the things, as I read a passage like today, and as I understand the reality of the human heart on some level, I want you to vow with me today that we would not be this guy, that we would not be that guy or that girl, that we would vow today that in our lives, if we have wisdom, wisdom tells us that our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Wisdom tells us the love of money ruins us. But how many families have been devastated, ruined, and extreme bitterness and unforgiveness and untold hurt has occurred over the fighting, the bickering, and at times the violence, at least verbally and in hearts, over inheritances, over the love of money, over the passionate pursuit of greed? How many families have been ruined over something that ultimately carries no eternal value. So what I do then is I step back far enough and say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Do I trust the Lord? Do I trust myself? Do I trust in God's word? Or do I think that this will actually bring happiness? No, I trust God. So therefore, let's vow to not be that guy. Let's vow if our situation came and we have some sort of inheritance or anything else due to the love of money, we would be strong enough in the Lord and smart enough in the Lord to say, ultimately, it does not matter. That's powerful. Well, what if I'm this? What if I'm taken advantage of? What if this? Who cares? Under the will of God, for the glory of God and the joy of God, God's telling us your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. So Jesus answers this individual, and basically what he says to him, he says, I have not become God incarnate to handle such trivial issues. The reason Jesus has come was to save the world from sin. What Jesus is saying here is, I haven't come to feed your greed. He knows the man's heart. He knows this isn't a genuine question of justice. This is a genuine question of greed. So Jesus is like, I haven't come to earth as God in the flesh to feed into your greed. I have come to save people from your sins. And that is why now Jesus begins to tell this exhortation and this parable, because his ultimate purpose is for the heart, not for checking accounts. His purpose and desire to see lives change. So what he does, he turns this trivial question into a life-changing exhortation. Now we see verse 15. And he said to him, he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Just look at that. Just look at that. Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I got to tell you, when Jesus Christ saved me, when my faith was put in him and my eyes were opened, the joy, the freedom, the blessing. See, one of the things that I'd done all my life, and because in the bondage of our world and the system of my own sin, is I really believed in my life that my life did consist in the abundance of my possessions. I was taught in university. I was going through different aspects and in different courses, and the whole system of the environment of friends and teaching was you get an education to build yourself into something, to accumulate things so you have more money, so you feel more important, that you're more special, and you can buy nice stuff and be better than the person down the road and whatnot. That was just inherently the system of our world and is everywhere right now. So I was trained in the system of our world to say, ultimately, my life does consist in the abundance of my possessions. My worth is found in what I own. My identity is found in what I have. The respect I will gain is from what I have gained from this world by the pursuit of wealth, possessions, and whatnot, and so forth. But when I come to Jesus Christ, and I am saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I come to verses, particularly this one in Luke chapter 12, and Jesus says, take care, be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I'm telling you, I read that. I'm like, what, for real? For real? You mean my identity, my worth, my merit in this life isn't about stuff. It's about Jesus Christ. This is the power and the freedom of the gospel, that I could walk up with all genuineness and joy and passion and look the world in the face and say, ha ha, in your face, world, my life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. My life consists in the identity and the glory and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, to be set free from the world and the advertisements and the messages and the lies and the overwhelming burden and weight of sin and all the messages every day that we get that your life is about you have what you own, but it's not. It's not in Jesus Christ. I'm free. What happens? You walk around saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Why? Because my life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. My life is found solely in the identity and the riches of the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And that is a message that God wants to share with all of us today on some form or another. Many of us live as though our life does consist in the abundance of our possessions. We have been deceived if that is where we are and that's how we live. Jesus Christ is something so much greater, so much more powerful. One's life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Again, in your face, world. And notice what Jesus specifically says. He says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. Do you see that? Take care. What does take care mean? It means see to it. It means keep your sight on. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. I want you to notice here in this exhortation of Jesus, this command from Jesus, take care, be on your guard against all covetous means that we are at war against greed. It means there's a war and onslaught against our mind and hearts every day in forms of covetousness, the love of money, the love of possessions, and inherent greed within our lives. We are at war with this every day. And that is why Jesus says, take care, don't fall asleep, be vigilant, watch for where greed is entering into your life. He says, be on guard. Be on guard means passionately guard your heart. It carries the meaning that we are under attack against this. Again, the sin of greed is seeking to seep into our lives on a daily basis. And so we must ask ourselves, we must watch ourselves. One of the questions right now, today, for all of us is then, according to the command of Christ right here, where is greed coming into our lives? Where is it? I gotta watch for it. I gotta stand guard. I gotta be ready. Questions we ask ourselves to find out where our hearts are really at. Questions we ask ourselves are questions like this. What am I thinking about most? What do my thoughts dwell on? Because what I dwell on is what I care about. What am I loving? What are my passions towards? What do I fantasize about? What do I daydream about? What do I long for and love in my life? It reveals our treasure. What am I doing with my life? How do I spend my time? What are my priorities? What are the things that I long to do? What is the aspects of that guides my heart and mind? That will tell you what you treasure. It will tell us what we focus on. It will tell us ultimately what we love. And Jesus says, you got to guard your mind, man. You got to guard your heart. You got to look around right now and figure out where's the greed. The greed's coming in from somewhere. I got to watch it so I can kill it. Ask yourselves these questions. You know, many of us, we will look at our bank statements more than our Bibles. What does that say? It says something. What does that reveal? Well, often it reveals what we think about, what we love, and what our priorities are. We think about the next thing, next that, next this, whatever it is. Jesus says, take care and be on guard. Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, this man in this parable, hey, teacher, get my brother divided inheritance. His heart was in trouble. You see what happened? Greed had entered in his mind and his heart to the point where Jesus is teaching us something completely separate. And again, he doesn't hear a word. All he wants is his money. Be very careful, loved ones. Be very careful. Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What Jesus does now, he provides warnings and commands to be on guard from covetousness. What is covetousness? It can be translated easily as greed. What essentially is greed? Greed is the desire to have more. To covet is to long for what someone else has. It is to wrongly and insatiably long for greater wealth or possessions to the point, again, it captures your heart and you love it and you want what other people have again. But here's the problem with greed. The problem with greed is so few think it's actually a problem with them. Tim Keller was very helpful in this regard. Tim Keller helped me see that the greatest weapon of greed is that it hides itself so well. Greed is so wickedly deceptive and subtle. The problem is people, what people do is people always compare themselves with someone more than them. So therefore, they don't think greed is an issue for them. And they think greed's not a problem because they're living more simply than others. Wisdom tells us in scripture, greed can ruin a prince as well as a peasant. It doesn't matter. It's the heart. It's an issue of the heart. And what's so true, as Tim Keller points out, he can't recall someone coming up after service and confessing or admitting, I struggle with the sin of greed. When I stop and think about it, I think he's right. I mean, just last week, I heard multiple confessions in the areas of a lack of compassion or needing compassion. But I wonder if we'll hear those today on the same issue of greed. But again, so few of us actually think we have a problem with this, but let's be clear. If we don't think we have a problem with this, we have deceived ourselves. Jesus taught far more on greed than sex. Why? Because this is our greatest issue. Or our greater issue. So wisdom, the starting point for wisdom today is this. The humble person with the exposure to God's word will not ask the question, is there greed in my life? The wise person will say, where is the greed in my life? Where is it? I know it's creeping in. The world I live in, I have to find it that I may kill it, that I may be set free from it. The reason this is such a big deal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We cannot live passionately for Jesus Christ with a full-out devotion for him if we are caught up in the love of money and we are overcome with this area of greed. Now listen to the deception of evil and greed and covetousness. I have a few quotes I want to put up in here for you. The first one is from Billy Graham. Billy Graham says, avarice, of course, which is greed, is probably the parent of more evil than all other sins. Just think of the insatiable appetite of people over history and what it's driven people to for the lust of more and money directed and the hard. Here's the next quote by St. Gregory. From avarice, there springs treachery, fraud, deceit, perjury, restlessness. I mean, this is a great quote, and put it in terms of a family fighting over inheritance. The motivation is I want more money. And from greed, from avarice, then comes all these other sins. Fraud, deceit, perjury, restlessness, violence, and hardness against compassion. The very commands from last week we learned in the story about compassion, one of the greatest diminishers of compassion in our lives is the sense that I want more of myself and more of greed and more of money. It's a big deal. Brian Hedges, he said this, greed is a mother sin. It's a root sin. It's a vice that spawns a deadly brood of venomous offspring. Billy Graham shares a story of a party of tourists traveling through Death Valley, California. And they discovered the skeleton of a man who died on the drifting dunes of the desert, and clutched in his bony hand was a chunk of mica whose pyrites, which resembling gold, had deceived him. So imagine this, these tourists come across this skeleton and he had mistaken the yellow streaks in his rock for gold. But on a scrap of paper under the skeleton were written the words, died rich. So on a scrap of paper under the skeleton were the words, died rich. This man thought he was rich, but ended up starving to death, completely lost and totally alone. That is a very vivid and accurate picture as to the deceitfulness of riches. People who live for it will end up starving themselves to death, lost and alone and in destruction. Now, just again, and notice how much greed can take over the human heart. Notice how much it can almost drive us mad if left unchecked, and has for many, many centuries. Notice how powerful this sin is if left unchecked. Notice how it causes us along thinking patterns that are insane. It makes us do things that result in tremendous hurt. It makes us say things that if we really could stand outside ourselves and say, what in the world am I doing? This is why Jesus spends so much time on this issue, because it ruins lives and destroys the heart. But Jesus again says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Loved ones, be set free by the gospel. This is the power of the gospel. This is the power of the gospel. At the end, it doesn't matter. If you have everything or nothing, it doesn't matter as long as you have Jesus Christ. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions, because Jesus Christ has died and your faith in him has given you forgiveness, and you now receive an inheritance of Christ himself that one day so soon you will see in all its beauty and reality and fulfillment. And the moment you see Christ and the moment you are there with him in perfection and see him face to face and your inheritance is gathered for all of eternity, you will not be thinking about your car on earth. You won't. You won't be thinking about your bank card. You won't be thinking about your clothes.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.